This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, "Mata as-sa'a?" When is the hour? When is the final hour? When will Yawm al-Qiyamah come? Mata as-sa'a? When is the hour? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered him and answered his question with a question, which is more important than his question. And that is, ماذا عددت لها? What have you done to prepare for it? Because this is what's important. This is what is significant. Not when the hour is coming, because it's coming as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in the Quran. But what is significant is, what have we prepared for that hour? What have we prepared for our meeting with Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the reality of every single human being, all of mankind. The reality of how we're traveling in this dunya, traveling down the path of this life to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he told us, Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun. Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadham famulaqih. O man, indeed you are traveling, making much effort to meet your Lord, returning to your Lord, making much effort. You're struggling, you're striving in this dunya. Kadhan. Famulaqi. And you will meet it. And the scholars of tafsir said, what's meant by you will meet it? Famulaqihi. The dhamir or the ha, the pronoun here, said to find your deeds in front of you. Other scholars said, no, to meet Allah. And as Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, both of these tafsirs include the other. Because when you come Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're going to find your deeds, your a'mal in front of you, and you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both of these meanings are included in this ayah, فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You're going to find your deeds, and you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the Qur'an, and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tells us about the liqa of Allah, the meeting with Allah. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about this liqa. It was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'ahu. Wa man kariha liqa Allah, kariha Allah liqa'ahu." That whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah loves to meet him. And whoever dislikes meeting Allah, then Allah will dislike meeting him. Subhanallah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked immediately, hearing this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, is this talking about al-maut, death, meaning disliking death? Because all of us dislike death, that's something natural." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "No, that's not what's meant here. What's meant here is," he said, "when the believer is given the glad tidings, the bushra of Allah's mercy and His pleasure and His paradise," I mean at the time of death, "that he loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's given these glad tidings. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return loves to meet him." And he said, "when the disbeliever or the deviant one, when he is given the news of the punishment and the torment that is coming for him, he dislikes meeting Allah, so Allah dislikes meeting him." A message, if we were only to reflect on it, which we receive every single Friday when we read Surah Al-Kahf, which is full of lessons and benefits and reminders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes Surah Al-Kahf and the last ayah, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. Subhanallah. The last message in verse 110 of Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever has raja, whoever has hope of this meeting with Allah, this meeting that you're going to have with your Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have raja, you have hope, meaning you're hoping you're going to be successful when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you need to do if you want to be successful? What are some of the main keys to this success? Allah mentions the two main keys here in this ayah. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Then let him do good deeds and not join any partners with his Rabb, with his Lord and his worship. Having pure tawheed, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not turning to anyone else, only worshipping Allah, striving to make sure every act of worship we do is solely for Allah, every act that we do as Muslims, no matter what it is, that it's all done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live for Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. These two ayahs show us what it means to be a Muslim. Say that indeed, my prayer and my sacrifice, my slaughtering is for Allah. And it doesn't stop there. And my life and my death are for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I don't join any partners with Him. And this is what I've been ordered. And I'm the first of the Muslims submitting and surrendering to Allah. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we strive to do as many good deeds as we can. And focus on the issue of our deeds, my dear brothers and sisters. Because the reality of this life, as we're striving and struggling down the path of this life to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality is that every single thing we do, we're taking it with us to put it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yawm al-qiyamah, to be held accountable. In the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 5, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again talks about this liqa, this meeting with Allah, when He said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whoever has once again this raja, this hope of this meeting with Allah, فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتٍ. That indeed, the prescribed time set by Allah is coming. And then reflect how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this verse. وَهُوَ السَّمِيُّ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we read through the Qur'an, which was sent down with one of the main objectives to make the tadabbur and to reflect, if we truly want to benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to focus on why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end all of these ayat through the Quran, so many ayat in the Quran, with His beautiful names, which have His beautiful attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end this ayah with these two beautiful names, with these two beautiful attributes? To remind us of the reality once again of our deeds and our actions. That whatever we do, whatever we say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hears it. And He has knowledge of what we're doing. And this is the meaning of the taqwa that we're supposed to come now during the month of Ramadan and implement in our lives. This is the main goal that Allah mentions in the ayah of Siyam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who have believed, fasting was prescribed for you just as it was prescribed for those who were before you, the past nations. Why? So that you can obtain the taqwa. And that reality of taqwa is doing what Allah commanded us to do and staying away from what Allah commanded us to stay away from. to put a wiqaya, a barrier between ourselves and between the punishment of Allah, to establish the consciousness of Allah in our lives, the consciousness of Allah, the awareness of Allah in our actions. This is the reality and the essence of taqwa. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us in a hadith which was narrated in Sahih Muslim and reported by the Sahabi Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. A hadith that in reality it's very scary. It's a scary hadith. But it's something that we need to know. And it's something that we need to remind ourselves of. And that is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, يُبْعَثَ الْعَبْدُ أو يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدُ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. That every servant will be sent forth, meaning يوم القيامة, when you're sent forth from your grave, that every servant will be sent forth on the action which he died upon. Pay attention, my brothers and sisters. As we go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every one of us, the last action, the last deed that we were doing in this dunya will be sent forth from our graves doing this action to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the stories and the pictures that we saw of our brothers who died in sujood, whether in Mecca or Medina, this is how they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sujood, being sent forth from Mecca or Medina in sujood, Allahu Akbar. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Hajjatul Wada', the farewell pilgrimage, when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came to him with the sahabi, the companion who had been trampled to death by his camel. And people look at this as something being tragic, which in that time it might feel tragic, but look at the outcome, subhanAllah. The sahaba wanted to take off his ihram. They wanted to clean up his wounds and prepare him for the janazah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, da'u, leave him. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. Because he will come يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ making talbiyah, meaning he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. This is the blessing of having the husn al-khatima, the good ending. And this hadith reminds us to be aware of our actions, because we never know when Malik al-Mawt, the angel of death, is around the corner. We don't know that when for some reason we decide to take a right turn on the road instead of a left, maybe it's less traffic here, that actually we have an appointment on that road with the angel of death. He's waiting for us there. A car accident, instantly, boom, you're dead. And this is how you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you will be sent forth, doing the deed which you died upon. How many people have died in the state of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is how they will be sent forth. This hadith is very deep and should be a constant reminder to us that when we fall into sin, that when shaitan gets the best of us, that this hadith encourages us to bounce back quick, because we don't want to die in that state and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of disobedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to have husn al-khatima, ya Rabbil Alameen, to die on a good ending, ya Rabb. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the outcome, because the reality of this dunya is that we are in a constant battle with shaitan and a constant battle with our nafs, with our soul. Because the natural inclination of the human beings is that we are tempted to do that which is haram and that which is mischief and disobedient. We love some of these things that we've been forbidden from because they're harmful for us. Allah told us about the nature of every single human being. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That it's been beautified to the people, the love of the shahwat, the desires. That's something that all of us have inside. But here is the test. It's something that's in our nature, but what are you going to do with it? Are you going to give in and transgress the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fall in and follow your lust and your desires, doing that which is haram, doing that which is displeasing to Allah, in order to fulfill something you have inside? Are you going to be strong? Are you going to strive? Are you going to forbid yourself from crossing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and overcome your desires and stay strong for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the raja, once again, the hope of being successful when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah made it clear to us the outcome in Surah An-Nazi'at when He broke the people down into two categories. The outcome of this struggle with our desires, it's going to be one of two yawm al-qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. If the great, overwhelming calamity, this is yawm al-qiyamah, one of the descriptions of yawm al-qiyamah, الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى, the great, overwhelming calamity, when it comes, what's going to happen on that yawm, on that day? Allah made it clear, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. The day that every individual will remember that which he strove for in this dunya, in this life. All of the actions, all of your deeds. What did you strive for? For the lust and the desires? Or did you strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every single one of us, when we stand there, we're going to remember our actions. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And the Jahannam will be put in front of everyone for everyone to see. This is the reality of the severity of this day. And then Allah tells us the two categories. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. As for those who transgressed and preferred the life of this dunya, he preferred the worldly life. He preferred the lust and the desires. And always, when I talk about these ayat, I speak to myself and to my brothers and sisters with a question, and that is, how many of us do not fall into this category of being from those who transgress the boundaries and prefer the life of this dunya? We prefer the worldly affairs of this life, and we turn our backs on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. Some of us, every now and then, some of us are good, but we fall. And some of us are consistent, constantly transgressing the boundaries. Each one of us knows himself. But what is the outcome of this individual who transgressed and preferred this worldly life? فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That the hellfire is his refuge. That's where he's going. He's going to hell. Allah made it clear these are the boundaries of Allah. Don't pass them. Don't cross them. Be patient for what Allah has promised you in the hereafter. But they chose to transgress and transgress. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The hell will be his refuge. That's where he's going. And the second category. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah Akbar. For the ones who have fear of the position of his Lord, and he forbids his nafs, he forbids his soul and his desires from the hawa, from the desires, he forbids himself. What is the outcome for this individual, one who strove and struggled for Allah in this dunya, and he struggled for the hereafter and the pleasure of Allah? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That the Jannah, the paradise will be his refuge. He's going to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, as we return down the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet Allah, one of the key things to our success is that we focus in detail on our deeds. And that starts with muhasabat al-nafs, holding ourselves to account. And the reality of Ramadan, one of the essence of the fast and the main benefits of the fast that we don't tend to focus on sometimes, there's so many lessons that's being taught to us. And one of the lessons, if you just look at how keen we are to make sure that nothing breaks our fast. Even sometimes people go to extremes and make mistakes, thinking things break the fast, they don't, but they're just so worried about their fast being broken, not being accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this should be the reality, because this is a reminder. This should be the reality of the Muslim when it comes to all of our actions, all of our deeds, not just the fast. We should be concerned about all of our deeds. Are they going to be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should be scared that our deeds are not going to be accepted. So the fasting is teaching us. And when we hear these ayat and these hadith about the meeting with Allah, we need to prepare ourselves to focus on our actions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the hadith, which was reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, of the reality when we come to stand in front of Allah yawm al-qiyamah for this great meeting with Allah. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَسَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. That there's none of you except for that he will speak to his Lord. لَيْسَ بَيْنُهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجَمَانِ. There's no intermediary between him and his Lord. Just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just you and Allah on that great day. Standing in front of Allah. And then what is the reality once again of our deeds, of our actions? He said, فَيَنْظُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْ فَلَا يَرَىٰ إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. He looks to his right and all he sees is that which he has done. All of his actions, all of his deeds. فَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْ فَلَا يَرَىٰ إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. He looks to his left and all he sees is that which he's done. That which he's brought with him for that day, for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَنْظُرُ تِلْقَى وَجْهِ فَلَا يَرَىٰ إِلَّا النَّارِ. And then he looks between, in front of himself, and all he sees is the hellfire. How can we protect ourselves from the hellfire? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرًا. To fear the hellfire, even if it's just with giving half of a date in sadaqah. Meaning once again, to do as many good deeds as you can. Strive to do the good deeds while you have the opportunity. And in one narration of the hadith, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِقٍ. He said to meet your, if it's just to meet your brother with a nice face. It's a form of sadaqah, the smile in the face of your brother, something that small, meeting your brother with his face. Do as many good deeds as you can. Accumulate as many good deeds as you can while you're in this life. And hold yourself to account. And the beautiful statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he told us, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. To hold yourselves to account before you are held to account. And he said, weigh yourself, meaning weigh your deeds before you are weighed, he said. Meaning to weigh your deeds before they're weighed, yawm al-qiyamah. This is the opportunity you have now to reflect on your actions, to prepare yourself for this meeting with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us in the name of Iman in Surah Al-Hashr, verse 18. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah. O you have believed, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And let every soul look at that which it puts forth for tomorrow. And then Allah says again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Reflect on these three commands. Starting with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Establish the taqwa. Establish the taqwa in your life. The consciousness of Allah, the fear of Allah. And then, let every soul now, while they have an opportunity in this life, let them reflect, let them contemplate on that which they are putting forth for tomorrow. مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. That which you are putting in your scale of good deeds and the scale of bad deeds for يوم القيامة. Reflect now while you have a chance. And once again, then the third command, وَفِيرْ and fear Allah وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Have this consciousness, this awareness of Allah in your life. And Allah ends the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That indeed Allah is خَبِيرٌ. He's well acquainted with all that you do. This is the reality of the muhasab. We have to hold ourselves to account to realize that everything, single thing that we say. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That he doesn't utter a single word except for that's being written down. Any action that we do, no matter how small it might be, we're going to see it يوم القيامة. Whether good or bad. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. That whoever does an atom's weight of good or an atom's weight of evil, he's going to see it yawm al-qiyamah, when he stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, as we reflect on the reality of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we hold ourselves to account and make the muhasabah, and some of the scholars said this should be at least daily, and a good time to do it is before you go to bed. Before you go to bed every evening, instead of being on your phone and wasting your time, reflect on your day, reflect on your deeds, reflect on the reality of your life, in order to prepare yourself to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your mistakes, for your sins, for your shortcomings, and in order to have the niyyah that if Allah blesses you with another day, another opportunity, because this life that Allah has blessed with is precious. It's an opportunity. It's a fursa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if we have another chance, we're going to do as many good deeds as we can. And this is the way of the believer. That even if we fall into sin, we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the nature of every single one of us, and this is important we realize, the nature. Allah talks about our nature in the Quran, the reality of the human being. The Prophet ﷺ describes it in the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ told us, "Kullu bani Adam khatta," that all of the children of Adam make mistakes. This is the reality. We're going to make mistakes. But then what did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? "Wa khayrul khatta'een at-tawwabun." But the best of those who make mistakes are the tawwabun. Who are the tawwabun? The ones who are constantly repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us in the Sunnah to make istighfar at least 100 times a day. Constantly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And strive to follow up your bad deeds with what? With good deeds. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us, "Watbi' as-sayyata al-hasana tamhuha." To follow up the bad deed with a good deed, it will wipe it away. And Allah told us the same meaning in the Quran, "Innal hasanat yudhibna as-sayyi'at." That indeed the good deeds, they make the bad deeds go away. This is the way of the believer, that we strive. And this is what Ramadan is teaching us, to strive to do good deeds, to strive to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how we need to be all throughout the year, constantly striving to do as many good deeds as we can. So we'll be successful when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wipe away the bad deeds. And that is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us, as we mentioned in the last verse in Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That whoever has hope, and all of us have hope, but what type of hope, ya akhwan? What is the reality of hope? Hope is something that shows up in your actions. In the affairs of the dunya, if you were in a place that caught on fire, what would you do? You say, "I'm going to sit here and hope that the fire doesn't reach me. I'm going to sit here and hope that the fire department reaches here before the fire reaches me." Or you're going to get up and you're going to get out that window. You're going to work. You're going to strive to save yourself. So the same thing comes to our actions, the reality of ourselves. If we really have hope, true hope, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to strive for it in this life. And reflect, my dear brothers and sisters, as we end the khutbah today, with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. The one wish that every single person on the face of this earth will have after death. Khalas, the angel of death has come and taken our soul. The one thing that we're going to wish, we're going to want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, Allah tells us in the Quran, different ayat. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. O Allah, O Rabbi, O my Lord, send me back. لَعَلِّي عَمَلْ صَالِحًا. Let me do a good deed. Give me one more chance. That's the wish of every single individual. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you reflect on the last three ayat in Surah Al-Munafiqun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us in the name of Iman, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. O you have believed, do not let your wealth or your children and your family in general, do not let them what? Distract you from the remembrance of Allah, from performing your salat, from fulfilling your obligations upon you, from being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this comes under the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's ibadah, and remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the ones who don't implement this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are they? The ones who are distracted by the dunya, who don't fulfill Allah's right upon them. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. SubhanAllah, the Quran has made everything clear for us, my dear brothers and sisters. As we're reflecting, and we should be reflecting during the month of the Quran, our objective shouldn't be just to finish. Look at these ayat, SubhanAllah. We could speak about these ayat for an hour and how deep they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever does this, he's distracted, then they are the khasirun, they are the losers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next verse, commands us, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, and spend from what we have provided for you. The money you have, and we're in the month of generosity and sadaqah, the money that you have, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been given you to you to test you what you're going to do with it. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولُ. Before death comes to one of you, before death comes to one of you, and he will say, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He will say, oh Allah, if you can just delay me a bit, let me come back or delay the death, so I can give some sadaqah and I can be from the salihin. I'll give some charity and I'll be from the pious. I'll do some good deeds and then I'll be able to die. Give me one more chance. But Allah makes it very clear in the last verse. وَلَن يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. That Allah will never delay the time of the soul if its time has come. خلاص, the time of death has come. There's no timeouts. There's no second opportunities. Allah gave you all of these days, all of these years, to test you to see what you're going to do with it. There's no time for second chances. If the time of death comes, then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is well acquainted with that which you do. My dear brothers and sisters, Al-Bara radiallahu anhu, he narrated, and the hadith is in Sunan Ibn Majah, that they went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a janazah, a funeral. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sat on the side of the grave and he started to weep alayhi salatu wasallam. He started to cry. So much so, in the hadith he said, hatta balad al-thara, until the thara, the earth became wet from his tears alayhi salatu wasallam. And then he turned to his companions as he sat on the side of that grave and he said, Ya ikhwani, limithli hadha fa'iddu. Limithli hadha fa'iddu. He said, oh my brothers, for like this, then prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for the reality of death. Prepare yourselves for the reality that all of us are going to enter the grave, and prepare yourself for the reality when you come to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the successful when we stand in front of Him, and protect us all from the torment of the grave, and protect us from Jahannam, and enter us all into the Jannah. ثُمَّ اعْلَمُوا رَحِمِ اللَّهِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمَرَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ بَدَى بِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ ثُمَّ ثَنَّ بِمَلَائِكَةِ الْكِرَامِ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي بواحدة صلى الله عليها بها عشرا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد ورضى الله من الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وسائر الصحابة أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في هذا الشهر الكريم يا رب العالمين. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم ربنا إن نسألك أن تكون عونا ومعينا لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وقيموا الصلاة يرحمكم الله.